Paul here is telling the church at Philippi, I want to share with you that we live in a world of progress. Amen. Apple knows this personally. Amen. Right now, they're in Vince. What's the latest iPhone? We don't even know, because guess what? They keep inventing. As soon as you think you got the latest one, guess what? They got another one coming out in another month or so. And the reason why they do that, they invest much time, much labor, much effort, because they want to continue, believe it or not, getting your dollar, and getting my dollar. Amen. They're using technology, they're recruiting the finest minds out to try to not only invent the next best phone, but to also make you feel that, hey, if we don't get that phone, we're missing out. Not only does Apple value progress, but the world that we live in values progress. Amen. And so I recognize that not only does Apple do it, but different other companies as well, they value progress. And so to kind of help tell the story, I remember when a life-changing moment happened for me years ago when I first became a parent, and my wife and I was taking our children at the time. It was only one, Naomi, to the doctor. And when we were there, we would often have to, before we could even see the doctor, we would have to take her, especially in the cold, take her coat off and take her clothes and kind of strip her down, because they wanted to see her dimensions. They wanted to not only weigh her, but they also wanted to get her height. And it was just mind-boggling. I'm like, why in the world are they taking her height? And so we would have to lay her down on this scale, and she would have to get, and that was often a challenge within itself, is because we would have to stretch her out, and she didn't like that. She wouldn't be still. She was a very squirmy child. But we recognized that, hey, that was part of the process. And not only that, they also measured her head. And so as we went through the years, and so we recognized that every time we did that, every time we brought her to the doctor's office, that she was getting measured. She was getting measured before we could even see the doctor. And over the years, this is what has happened. She has grown not only into being the girl, the beautiful girl that she is, but back then my mind goes back to that. And so I thought about it. I said, wow, you know what? Before you can even see the doctor, the nurses know something's up, because if you are not growing, that shows that something's up. That gives some insights that's a red flag. By measuring the circumference of her head, by measuring her height and weight, that showed, hey, you know what, that something's going on. And so one of the things I took away from that was that our health is attached to our progress. That one of the ways that the doctors know what's going on is that, hey, they measure these dimensions. And so as I thought about that, God does the same thing, that God, it's our expectation from our Heavenly Father that He wants us to grow. Amen. That He wants us to make progress. Thank you. He wants us to grow and to develop. It's never His expectation that we stay at the same place Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month. Amen. That God wants us to move and grow in Him. The same that holds true for this natural world that we live in, the same principle that our Heavenly Father wants from each and every one of us. He doesn't want us to stay at a foundational level. He wants us to move forward, move beyond these principles. And so it's good that we may memorize the Ten Commandments, but He doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to know more than just the Ten Commandments. He wants us to venture into not just the Old Testament, but the New Testament, the prophets, the major and minor prophets, the epistles. He wants us to grow. And so one of the things that I want to talk to you about today is growing, is going after the progress of God, And so obviously as Naomi has grown, amen, she doesn't allow me to, you know, get into poses like that, but that's how she used to be, amen. But now she can barely give me a hug, amen. But we love her anyhow. God's expectation that we grow. And so today I want to talk about going after progress. Going after progress. And so he tells this church that, hey, you know what? Church in Philippi, you're doing some great things. I want you to know that, hey, you know what? I've learned some things in this walk with God. I learned some things with this walk with God. And I want to share with you some of those things that I want. If we could go to the next slide, please, that would be helpful. And so I want to kind of leave that passage up here because that's going to be just the focus for today. So he tells this church that, hey, you know what? There are some things that I have learned. Not saying that I'm perfect. Not saying that I've got it all together. But as a result, there's some things that I want you to know that I'm focusing on reaching the prize. I'm focusing on this heavenly prize. As a matter of fact, I'm pressing towards this prize. I'm going after this prize. I'm pursuing this prize. And so he encourages this church, as he told his son and Timothy last week, as we talked about that we have a purpose and how we got to pursue it. He's now telling this church, these group of churches actually at Philippi, that you know what? I'm forgetting the past. Because that's one of the things that will hinder me from going forward. That's one of the things that will hinder me from reaching progress, from making progress in God. We got to forget the past. And how many of us know that, hey, there's a devil out there that will try to keep our past in front of us, that will try to rehearse our past, that will try to make us feel bad because of decisions we made in the past, about how some mistakes we made. That's what the enemy does. That's what he does best. As a matter of fact, he'll use people to remind us of how we used to be. He would use different ones to make us feel guilty. So one obstacle that stands in the way from us understanding and making progress is our past. But Paul here says that, you know what, you got to forget the past. Amen. And I come here today to tell you that we have to forget the past because God washes our sins, as Sister Nika said in our prayer. As far as the east is from the west, he forgives us as far as the east is from the west, and he doesn't hold it against us. And so as a result, he frees us from the past so that we can go forward, that we can make progress, that we can press into the deeper things of God. And so Paul tells his church, hey, you know what? You're off to a good start, but to move forward, to keep the momentum going, that, hey, I want you to progress. I want you to make progress. I want you to forget the past. So I don't know who that is for today, but I know it's for me that, hey, there's some things that I'm reminded of, and the enemy would try to make us feel guilty about it. But I thank God for the mercy of God. I thank God for the blood sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah, who washes my sins and makes us pure, in him. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome to reflect on. And so he says that, hey, our progress is contingent upon our ability to forget the past. And so I'm thankful that, hey, you know what, that this bad things I've done, that God didn't hold me hostage on that. He, as a matter of fact, he didn't give me all the consequences I deserve. He gave me mercy. And so as a result of that, I'm going to make progress in him. I'm going to make progress in him. You know what's another obstacle is that, hey, not only does I believe Paul is saying forget the past bad things that we've done, but also forgetting those things that that have been in our past that can sometimes be good things, past progress, I like to say. You know what? There's some spiritual victories that when you come to Christ and when he saves us and delivers us from, and you start to get some victories in your life, and you start to have some authority over the works of darkness, and you're able to grow, you can start to put your feet up and rest. You can start to feel like you have the market cornered, if you will, in certain things of God. But I'm here to tell you that Paul says I have to forget those things. As a matter of fact, Paul says it earlier that, hey, if anybody kept the law as good, that was me. I was a Jew of Jew. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee who majored in keeping the law concerning zeal and persecuting the church. That was me. But he says, you know what? I'm going to not focus on that. I'm not going to focus on those past things. I'm going to focus on moving forward in him. And so what he's saying is don't boast on your past credentials, even though they may be good. When God uses you, amen, praise God. But don't rest there. Move forward. Move forward and ask God to use you even more. When God used you to pray for someone and God steps in, then don't rest there. Keep those disciplines. Keep after it. Don't rest. Don't rest. And so he says here that, hey, I want you to not only forget the bad things, but even the past victories. Amen. You celebrate it. You rehearse the testimony, but you keep after it. You keep growing in him. Take a page from Apple. Even though they may have a good product, they don't rest. They keep going after making it better, enhancing it, improving it, finding a way to make this tweak, finding a way to make this better. And so as a result, I know for myself, there's some areas in my life, Lord, I need you in. I fell short last night. I snapped. I was in my emotions, Lord. I need you to step into this area. I need your help, Lord. I felt like cheating on in this area. Lord, I need your help. You delivered me from lying. You delivered me from stealing. But, Lord, I still need your help in this area. So he says that, hey, I want you to go after progress. But you know what? You got to press. Now, you think about the word press. You know, I think about bench pressing or push pressing, these lifts. And by mere definition, you are coming up against some resistance. You have to make some additional effort to get it up. You have to push. It's not easy. It doesn't flow well, right? You have to push. You have to exert some physical energy, some stress, some strain. So it's not easy, but I tell you, once you get that weight up, for those of us that's been working out, it feels good, especially once you're able to get it up and reach beyond. But it's a press. Somebody say press. You have to make progress. So as a result, when you start pressing, guess what? It gets easier and easier as you keep pressing. You start to make progress when you lift weights. You start to maybe add a little bit more. But why? Because that previous weight is not as challenging as it once was. As a matter of fact, you start adding some more. Why? Because you are growing. And so God says that, hey, Paul says here, I want you to know that it's going to be some pressing. It's not going to be easy. As a matter of fact, there's a devil out there who's going to resist you in it. He's going to resist you in pressing into the things of God. He's going to resist it. He's going to make it difficult for you to pray. He's going to make it difficult for you to fast. He's going to make it difficult for you to read your word, to memorize your word. He's going to come up with distractions. But I'm here to tell you, church, if you press, there's going to be a reward that's waiting for you. But you got to press. You got to press. One of the things I like about the Apostle Paul, he lays it out straight. He doesn't make it sound like it's going to be nice, smooth sailing. He's like, look, it's going to take some sweat, y'all. You may have to roll up your sleeves a little bit, but you got to get ready for it because it's a press in terms of moving forward in God. And so I thought about this, and as I was thinking about progress, going after progress, that's what God is calling the church to do. That's what he's calling me and you to do as the people of God. And so if we're not making progress, then we are staying stagnant. And you know what happens if you stay stagnant? If you stay stagnant, then guess what? You don't grow. You don't grow. And as a matter of fact, you lose your ability to be a witness. And so I just think about it from that natural end. As we reference, you know, businesses know this. Apple knows this. If we don't keep growing, then guess what? There's going to be somebody else that comes out and makes something better. And as a result, we're going to lose our ability to have an impact. We're going to lose our ability to have influence in this world. And so that holds true for me and you, that if we are not making progress, if we are not going after God, if we're not growing, then the opposite will occur. We may take a couple steps back, and so as a result, we may lose our ability to be what God's called us to be. And so here, I'm going to leave with you a few things. Paul says, to press, and I'm going to learn to share with you some things I believe that will help us to measure our growth. Again, before we can see God, the ultimate doctor, we recognize that He is calling us to grow. He's going to see if we are growing. So the question that I want to leave with you today is, how do we measure our growth? How do we measure our growth in God? Is it by the number of times we come to church? Is it by the number of verses I memorize? So I wanted to share with you that church statistics does not measure our growth in God. Church statistics does not measure our growth in God. It may be nice having good things and going and memorizing those things, but if we're going to truly measure our growth in God, I want to leave with you a few things that I've learned that really kind of gets at growth in God. And so the very first thing I want to leave with you is how do you know if you are growing? Is by how much you sacrifice for God. How much you sacrifice for God. How much we sacrifice for God. How much do we give up for the will of God in our life? How much do we pick up our cross? Because if you think about picking up our cross, that's sacrificial living. Jesus said it best. He said, if anyone wants to follow me, must deny themselves and pick up their cross. Sometimes? No. Daily. And so how much I sacrifice. And so that's one measure, that's one key component, and how do I measure my growth in God, is how much I sacrifice, how much do I embrace the will of God, so much that I'm willing to give up some of my will, some of my agenda, some of my things I desire to do. Once I know what He desires, how much am I willing to grab a hold of that, or am I able to grab some of it? You see, how much do I lay down for the cause of Christ? That's the essence of sacrifice. And so as a result, it's going to call me to walk away from some things. Amen. And so I can't, when I recognize that God is a holy God, I'm going to have to be mindful of certain things that are not holy. I'm going to have to recognize that, give some of that stuff up, because that will keep me from being in an intimate relationship with this holy God. And so as a result, I have to let go of certain things. I have to let those things go. I recognize that I may have to say no to some stuff. And I may have to say yes to some things that are different, such as prayer, such as reading my word, such as being nice and Lord, being vulnerable before God. Lord, this is an area I recognize I really want to snap on this person. They just looked at me the wrong way. I really want to just snap on them. But Lord, I need your help. I need you, because the old Tyrone can't operate like that. The old Tyrone wants to do this, but the new Tyrone wants to recognize he can't do that. So I need you, Lord. And so I mean, how much I sacrifice. And it occurs and it impacts every area of your life. And so for those of us that are in a relationship, in a marriage, you recognize that, hey, you gotta consider your spouse. It's not just your program. You have to consider your spouse. And in terms of, especially for me, when it was in terms of buying stuff, look, I have to consider my wife. Because, hey, I can't just go and purchase things. I have to learn how to sacrifice for her. Amen. So some things that the kingdom of God, when we start to get after God, He will want us to sacrifice. So it will challenge you in certain areas. So when we read the scriptures and when we see what the Lord says about certain things, we have to understand that it will cause us to be mindful of those areas. So the first thing, how do I know if I'm growing, is how much I sacrifice. The next thing is, how much do I share Christ? How do you know if you're growing? How much do you share Christ? As we said earlier, that, hey, we're under a divine assignment. The Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in Jesus' name and going to the ends of the earth. That's our divine assignment. And so the Great Commission commands us to share the good news. So how do I know if I'm growing? How much do I share Christ? Not just in my life, but when an opportunity presents, Lord, how much do I share? Do I open my mouth and share about you? We talked about sharing our testimony. Yes, that's part of it. Lord, you delivered me. You are the one who has saved me. You're the one who has kept me. You have brought me to this place. So I'm not only going to tell my testimony, I'm going to be your witness here in the earth. So how much do I share Christ? Not just in words, but in your life, talking about how he has redeemed me. And let me just share this. You do not have to have a degree. You do not have to have a degree in theology for your to be able to share Christ. Right? You do not have to go to seminary to share Christ. Amen. Amen. It is helpful. It equips you. It enhances your ability to articulate. But that's not the necessary requirement to share Christ. All you have to do, the requirement to share Christ is have an experience. Somebody say experience with Christ. That's all you need. And so when you experience Christ, then guess what? You can go and tell others. You can go and share. You can go and declare it on the mountaintop how good God is, how you see God open doors, how you see God move situations, how you see him make a way out of no way, how you see him move things and step in and not just show up, but show out. So when you experience Christ, that leads you to share Christ. Guess what? We talk about stuff that we are not embarrassed about. Amen. That's one of the things I learned. We talk about things that we are not embarrassed about. The things that we enjoy, we're going to talk about it. Amen. For example, my kids love Chick-fil-A. They constantly talk about Chick-fil-A. They talk about Chick-fil-A quite often. Why? Because they enjoy Chick-fil-A. As a matter of fact, if Chick-fil-A was open on Sunday, they would ask me every Sunday to go to Chick-fil-A. Amen. But I thank God that one is not nearby. But they don't talk about McDonald's, amen. They don't talk about McDonald's as much as they do Chick-fil-A. Why? Because they don't enjoy McDonald's like they enjoy Chick-fil-A. And so we share things that are important to us, things that are a blessing to us. We share those things. We share those things. Those things are helpful. And so what we are excited about, we share it. And whatever we are embarrassed about, we keep it to ourselves. I'll say that again. Whatever we are excited about, we share it. And whatever we are embarrassed about, we keep it to ourselves. So when we don't share Christ, we are guilty of what it says in Mark chapter 8, that Jesus is going to be ashamed of us. Amen. When he comes before his Father, he's going to be ashamed of us if we're ashamed of him now. So if we have to understand that in order for God to, Jesus to confess us before the Father, we have to be willing to confess and share him now. So how do we know if we're growing? How do we measure our growth? By how much we sacrifice, by how much we share Christ, and then how much we study the life of Christ. You see, Sunday, it's never God's intention for us to have Sunday as our only time of worship. If Sunday is our only time of worship, then we're in trouble. Our spiritual life is in trouble. Amen. Your primary place, our primary place of worship should be at home. In a place in our private place in our home where we have where we know for sure we can meet God. See, my house is it's a lot of noise. Amen. It's six children. Amen. And it can be kind of chaotic at times. And so it can be difficult, amen, finding a place. But our primary place of worship, amen, should be at home. Because God's design for us is that when we come here on Sunday, hey, amen, we've been practicing, amen, what we've been doing all week long. But if we haven't been practicing, then it's going to be different. It's going to seem like we're out of place. But I recognize that folks that are able to lift their hands in church are folks that lift their hands at home. Amen. Folks that's able to read their word and shout hallelujah and shout amen and have a response, because guess what? They connected to God at their home. They're connected to God in their car. They have to. They're connected to God wherever, because they have this connection to Him. They have this relationship with Him. And so I recognize that, hey, you know what? When this comes to measuring our growth, we have to recognize that, hey, what happens on Sunday, amen, should spill over. As a matter of fact, it should carry over Monday through Saturday. I should be having a time in my home on certain days of the week. Certain days may be longer than others, but I need to designate a place, a designate a spot in my home where I can get before God. That should be your primary place of worship. And then, obviously, as I practice worshiping at home, I guess what? When I come into this place on Sunday with my fellow brothers and sisters, amen, we can corporately, amen, make God big. We can corporately give Him praise. We can corporately lift our voice, amen, and experience more of Him. Because guess what's going to happen? You can't wait to heaven to have a praise party. Amen. You're going to be like a fish out of water if you don't know how to praise God now. Then how in the world are you going to praise God then? Because up there, all they're doing is praising God. Up there, all they're doing is giving God praise. Up there, the angels are bound before Him and just blessing His name. And so as a result, you're going to seem out of place if you don't know how to worship Him there. So as a result, you got to practice it now. You have to practice it now, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week, to find a place. Amen. I even found a space at my job at times. I have to go into a place when the bell rings and the kids are gone. I have to go into a place and give God praise and just be me and God, because I got to connect to Him. Why? Because I feel out of place. I feel out of place if I don't worship Him. Sometimes, I'll be honest, high school kids, they can not be the most compliant. Sometimes they make you want to get in the flesh. They make you want to do some things that you wasn't taught to do. Amen. So I had to take time out, like, hey, God, I need you. Help me with this young man. Help me with this young lady. She gives me all type of tune. In other words, she gives me all type of attitude. Amen. Help me. I feel like this plan, I feel like just addressing it, amen, in a not so godly manner. So it's important for us to understand, and I want to invite you all, amen, to find a place. Make that your place of worship. Amen. Make that your place of worship. Amen. And I tell you, you start to be able to, and the more the times you do it, amen, the easier it becomes. Amen. The more times you do it, the easier it becomes. The more times you practice it, the easier it becomes. But you have to make that a priority. Amen. And so the next piece of this is that, how do we know we're growing? It's by how we study the life of Christ. How we study the life of Christ. So we know that we're growing is by when we study the life of Christ, and then when we seek to apply it to our life. Amen. You got to study the life of Christ. As I made mention of, you want to take a magnifying class and really look at Jesus. You know what? It's impossible to grow if me and you don't read our Bible, if we don't study the Bible. It's impossible. It's impossible to grow. We have to be people that read the Bible. Amen. Sunday should be the only time that I get exposed to the Word of God. Sunday is to whet your appetite, amen, so that you can hunger and thirst for more. And so whatever ways we can use to get the Word of God, we need to study it. Amen. We have great technology. We have great apps. We have great things. But there is something, and so we need to find those things and utilize them so that we can study the life of Christ so that we can grow. As Paul told this church, hey, you need to grow. You need to, you need to press. And so at times it's going to be a press given into the word. It's going to be a press into studying the life of Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, when you make the press, there's a blessing in it. As an old saint used to say, there's a blessing in the pressing. And so I'm here to tell you that you begin to grow, you begin to understand more, and you begin, when you start to apply it, you start to go before God and ask Him for more. See, the Word of God will do some things in you as you study the Word. It will help to give you hope. It will hope. It will pour into you. It will give you the ability to give you joy when you're in a tough spot. It will give you confidence that God is going to work this out. You may not know how. You may not know how He's going to do it. It may seem impossible, but when you come across scriptures that all things are possible with Him, it will make you believe that, hey, you know what, God's going, if God is in it, He's going to work it out some kind of way. And the Word of God will give you a backbone. It will give you strength in a time of weakness. It will give you purpose. It will give you direction. It will give you, there's something about the Word. It will get rid of the doubts in your heart that God is able, so that when you sing songs that He's able, you're able to connect to situations, connect to accounts in Scripture about how God is able. So the Word of God does that. It really starts to mold and shape you into being who God's called you to be. That's why David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." He recognized the importance of us hiding the Word in our heart, us studying the life of Christ, because then that allows us to grow and make progress. And it helps you to keep from sin. Amen. So we grow when we study the life of Christ, when we share Christ, when we sacrifice. We also grow, saints, when we are silent before God. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that when we're silent before God, we're able to hear Him better. And I tell you, there's times in the morning typically works better. For me especially, but whenever you are silent before God, having that silent time, that speaks of prayer. And so when you pray to Him, but not only just petition Him and tell Him what you need, but just taking time out to go before God, Lord, I need to hear from You. I need You to lead me and direct me. He will start to bring things back into your memory. He'll start to tell you. He'll start to point out people that you need to minister to. He'll start to give you insight into certain situations. And so I've been really challenged by this, because when I'm silent before God, and I tell the Lord, before I move forward on this day, before I add the busyness of life and all these, getting all the news of yesterday, last night into me, I recognize when I'm hearing from You, You have an ability to help me for this day. As a way of directing. So prayer is a sign that we love God. And being silent before Him shows that, hey, Lord, I'm surrendering to You. I'm submitting my will. I'm aligning myself under Your will. And it teaches me how to hear from You. So not just going on what the pastor said, or not just going on what you heard on this blog, or heard about so-and-so, you start to hear from God yourself. It starts to really help you understand how to hear from the Lord. So when we silent before God, it helps to blot out all the clutter and allow you to hear from Him. Then next one is not only how we're silent before God, but then how we show forth the love of Christ. How we show forth the love of Christ. This is how we know we're growing. How we show forth the love of Christ. So obviously taking His word, we're studying the life of Christ. But then how can we show forth the love of Christ? You know what Jesus said? He says, here's how folks will know you are My disciples, by the way you love, amen, the way that we love others. You know, He said that the spiritual gifts, that, hey, the greatest of these is what? Love. And so love, as we said, love is a commitment. Love is action. And so we are called to show the love. love of Christ, not to just folks that look like us, not to folks just like folks that talk like us, but to folks that are different, to folks that are the unlovable, to folks that may have been abused, folks that that society may have mistreated. We are called to show forth the love of God to them. So that's a real measure that we are growing, is by our ability to show love. Amen. It's by our ability to show love. You know, it is impossible, I really believe it's impossible to be a loving, to serve a loving God and for us to be mean.
Yeah.
Right? That's just mind-boggling to me. It's like, hold on, our God so loved the world that he gave his only son for us. And I'm confessing to love God, and you confessing to love God, but every time I see you, you mean. That's something's up with that. And so it's impossible to serve a loving God and you mean all the time. Or you holding on to something all the time. Or you angry all the time. And so the love of Christ, when we show forth the love, we get really connected and plugged into God, he will deal with those areas in our lives. And as a result, I call it, he'll start to do surgery on us. He'll turn that heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. And so the Lord will start to deal with us and start to challenge us and to show forth his love. So the Lord will reveal and show us ways to show forth his love. We just have to ask him, Lord, help me to display your love today. Right? And sometimes love is challenging. Love has a love is correcting as well. So we can't miss that, hey, by me correcting, by me, once I hear something that offends God, is God's put us there to correct. So we have to be mindful that, hey, we can't just sit on the sideline when something offends God. We have to be willing, amen, to share and to speak love. And sometimes when you speak love, you speak in the word of God, it's going to convict folks. It's going to make folks seem, it's going to cause folks to be hurt, or it's going to make folks say, ouch. Because the word of God does that. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we recognize we got to show forth the love of Christ. And so my last thing that I want to share with you is that how do we know if we're growing? Is that we need to know how we're growing is by how much we submit to Christ. You know what? That's the ultimate criteria. How much do we submit to Christ? So when he calls us to do certain things, how much do we say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done? We see it in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was wrestling with whether or not to do, to see if this cup could pass from him. He was struggling with that. But ultimately he said, nonetheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. So Jesus himself had to ultimately submit to God by giving up his life and by dying a criminal's death, the worst form of execution. And so we have to recognize that in order for us to grow, God will cause us, the ultimate test is, hey, how are we submitting to the divine will of God? And the divine will of God sometimes will be challenging. It will hurt sometimes. It may be inconvenient sometimes. But if we submit to him, amen, we'll get the grace of God, and he'll allow us to be able to accomplish his purpose. So how do we know if we're growing? Some questions for you. How much do you sacrifice for God? How much do you share Christ? How much do we study Christ? How much are we silent before Christ? How much do we show the love of Christ? And then how much do we submit to Christ? That's how do we know if we're growing. And if we do those things, we're going to make progress. We're going to make progress. He says, you know what? When you make progress, there's a prize, amen, at the end of this race. Amen. There's a prize that awaits us. Amen. And I call it a now-later prize. That God gives us a now prize. Guess what? He delivers you from things that were once entangled you. He blesses your life right now. Not just on the other side. He blesses your life right now. Amen. doors open for you. Not saying that you're going to have a house on the hill, but he will continue to meet your needs. Amen. That Lord will bless your relationships as you submit to him. Amen. As you submit to him and you line up and be who God's called you to be in your relationships, he will bless those. Amen. He will bless those connected to you. He will bless your loved ones. He will bless and keep you. And so God will give you a now and later prize. He will keep you. He will keep you in perfect peace as you keep your eyes stayed on him. That's a prize. He will prosper you so that you don't have to be fretting. You don't have to be anxious. Now and later prize. And honestly, the ultimate prize is when the time comes that we will see him. And so that's what Paul tells his church in Philippi, that, hey, forget the past. Forget those things that will hinder you. But press towards what lies ahead. And as you press towards progress, and you make progress, then guess what? God will give you progress.